I got dance.
I'm sorry, I know I've lost half of you already. But, wow, when the Holy Spirit is in stuff,
yeah,
he totally brings it to life, doesn't he? And so every time the girls dance, I'm wrecked in the corner there. So, before I even start. But happy Easter! It's really good to be here this morning. I'm so, so excited, and I actually feel like what I've been preparing all week, what I'm bringing this morning, actually is just the icing on the cake for everything that we've already seen and heard and sung and experienced this morning. Jesus is so good, isn't he?
Amen.
He's our awesome Saviour and Lord, and he takes my breath away. He really does. And Rich has already mentioned this, but I have done a thing. I wrote a book, and I wanted to just share it with you. This is a act of obedience from me, from God, if you know what I mean. This is 310 pages-ish of my heart on a plate. It's a book, it's a journey through 2 Corinthians, which is a key life scripture to me. Not just one verse, but the whole book. And God has really ministered to me and given me strength to that portion of scripture. And so in response to that, he asked me to write a book. And so here it is. It's called What Are You Made Of? And it's all about perseverance. It's all about getting up every single day and walking with Jesus, drawing on him for strength and all you need. And I'm praying that it just blesses people. It blesses your heart and strengthens you. So they are available to buy. They are £8 and I have some with me if you'd like a copy. But I'm going to bless somebody with this who would like a free copy of my book firsthand. Anne-Marie, sorry, she was first. Well, Richard Kieber was first, but he doesn't get a free copy. He has to pay for it. Okay, let me pray and then we'll get into the word. Oh. Father God, I thank you for being here this morning. I thank you that you are so evidently here by your presence. Thank you that you've come and you've inhabited your praises and you are working and moving among us. And Lord, our prayer is that you will be glorified in every heart, every life represented here today. That, Lord, you will come now, Father God, and inhabit the word that is spoken out, that you will bring it to life, and by your Holy Spirit it will do its job, transforming us from inside and out and bringing glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So it's Easter Sunday, and we are continuing our series, our Easter series, which is called If He Can Raise Jesus, He Can Raise. And for me, instantly, as I was thinking and praying about this week, Jesus finished a sentence for me like this. If he can raise Jesus, he can raise me completely. Amen. He can raise me completely. And I wanted to feel a little bit insecure because of the quality and the excellence that has come from up here this morning. But I wanted to start off by singing you a really spiritual song that I learned when I was a young Christian. Is that okay? Okay, I warn you that I've had already more than my week's worth of sugar in the form of chocolate this morning. So here we go. Life without Jesus is like a donut. Like a donut. Like a donut. Life without Jesus is like a donut. There's a hole in the middle of your heart. Praise God. Okay, so. Okay, don't cut. Thank you. That's a really simple, childlike song, isn't it? Really simple. But when I first heard it as a child, well, not a child, a teenager growing up in the church, it stuck with me, as you can tell. I'm now many, many, many years older than I was when I got saved. And this song has always stuck with me, and I sing it regularly, especially when I'm going to Tesco's buying donuts. But it's a simple truth, isn't it? Life without Jesus is like a donut. If you think of a donut, and we're talking the American donuts here, because they always have a hole in the middle, right? The ring donut, aren't they? There's a hole in the middle, not like our quality English donuts that are full of the stuff. We, you know, our fried goods, we have to make the most of. There's no hole in our donuts. But you think it's wonderful, it's excellent, it's sweet, goodness, deep fried, sugar coated, cinnamon coated, however you like it, glazed. It's there. Oh no, everyone's like, oh, give me a donut. It's there and it's great, but there's something missing. There's something missing from that donut. There's a hole in it. And this song clearly is about our lives before Jesus, before we've met him, before he's come in and transformed us from the inside out, before he's filled us. We can walk around and live life as though we have a part of us missing, something in us missing. Because did you know we were created and intended and designed by the Father to love Jesus and have a relationship with him? And so when we're living our life without that, without him, there's a part of us missing. So this is life before Jesus. But you know, as I was thinking about this song again, I felt God say to me, you know, Amber, yeah, this song is about people before they know Jesus. And before you know Jesus, there's a part of you missing. But you know, there's some of us, some Christians, some followers of Jesus, people that know him and have a relationship with him, that sometimes find themselves in circumstances and situations, sometimes find themselves living as though there's still a part of him missing in us. Still living as though we have a hole in our lives. Still living, really, not completely filled. We're part filled. We're part raised. And that's not what Jesus intended. That's not what Jesus did on the cross. He didn't die and give himself 100% all in so that we could live part raised life. Do you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
You're not donuts. You're something very, very precious to the Father God. And he gave Jesus as the answer to fill us completely,
yes,
to raise us completely, so that we can live complete lives full of him. But we have to step up to that. We have to receive that. We have to, even on this Easter Sunday, with all the sugary sweetness and celebration around, let's just take a moment and just have a look. Just do a check. Quick check in our lives. Is there any part of me that is still a little bit half-raised? Still a little bit living under where it should be? Not quite as it should? Because Jesus wants to do something about that this morning. Amen? Amen. So the word complete means this. To fill up, to finish, and to fulfill. To be completely something means to be totally and utterly. So completely complete means to be totally and utterly filled up, finished, and fulfilled. Amen? And that is who we are meant to be. Let's go with me, please, to John chapter 19. Jesus Christ is in the finishing business. He is in the completing business. That is who he is. There's nothing part baked, part raised about him. He is all in. He is, we've sung it already this morning, he's the author and he's the perfecter of our faith. He's the beginning and the end. He is the above all. He's the in all. He is everything. Amen. And this is how I know that he is in this, because he said it in John chapter 19. We're not going to read the whole chapter purely because of time, but let's go straight to, this is the crucifixion of Jesus. This is what he did for us. Please read this. If you haven't read this in its entirety this weekend, make sure you do. Get a picture of this. Jesus went to the cross. He did many things. And in this chapter of John, I love the way John puts this, because he's very clear about the things that Jesus did that fulfilled the scriptures. Jesus did this because the scripture said. Jesus did this to fulfill the scriptures. It's mentioned several times in this passage. And then from verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. That's amazing. It is finished. You need to know this morning that the cross, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, was 100% intentional.
Yes.
Jesus knew that was what he had to do. Jesus knew that was where he had to go. He fully intended to go to the cross.
Yes.
Do you know how I know this? Because if you read back a little bit further, there's the part when Jesus is in the garden and the soldiers are coming for him. And the soldiers come for him and he steps forward. He says he steps towards them. He doesn't stand back. He doesn't try and hide. He doesn't run away. He steps forward because he knows this is the time. Scriptures have to be fulfilled. God's plan is in action. He steps forward and the soldiers say to him, well, he says, who are you looking for? And the soldiers say, we're looking for Jesus. And he says, I am he. And at that moment, bam, the glory of God falls down. Those soldiers were down. They could not stand in front of the Son of God at that point because he spoke out who he was. But then what happened? Jesus then carried on and he went to the cross. And that made me think, you know what? He could have taken every single one of them out right there and then. He could have changed the plan. He could have said, you know, no, this, all I have to do is speak, God, and your angel army comes down and wipes these people out. That's a better way to end the story, surely. But no, he doesn't. He doesn't. From that moment on, he goes. He goes with it. He follows it step by step. Step by step. But I just think there was part of him. And there was part of the people around him that knew at that point, oh, you know, at any point on the cross, at any point, he could have said, no, I can't do this. And it would have been different. But he 100% was committed to the cross, to God's plan for us. He saw us, didn't he? He saw us. He was 100% committed to us, to you and me.
Yes.
And that's what kept him on that cross. That's what held him there. He was 100% intentional about it. It wasn't an accident. It was not a series of circumstances arranged by the politicians and the religious leaders and the men and the authorities of the world. It had nothing to do with them. It all happened because God said it had to happen. And so it happened. It was intentional. He did it. It was purposeful. And he did it. And then it was finished. It was finished. What was finished? To finish something means to bring something to an end. To complete it. And that's what he did. He completed his work. He completed his purpose for coming. Did you know Jesus Christ left heaven for us? He left heaven for this. He left the side of the Father God and he came down on earth to do this important work. And he did it. His reason for leaving heaven was complete. The scriptures were fulfilled. The scriptures that needed to be fulfilled before running up were completed, were done. And you know what? Every other scripture and prophecy afterwards was finished as well. His work on the cross, it defeated the power of sin and death. That battle was over. It was over. It was finished. The victory was won. We still, yes, we see it around us, don't we? Day by day in our own lives, in the lives of in the world around us. We see the darkness. We see the battle. But you know what? It's finished.
Yeah.
It's finished. We are in a place of victory.
Amen.
And completion. Amen. The sin and death have no more power over our lives. It is finished. No matter how much noise it makes, no matter what show it puts on to try and scare you and hold you down and hold you back, it has no power over your life. As Pastor Vince has already said, how do we know this? Because the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is within us. That same power that finished the work, that defeated sin and death, is in us.
Amen.
Has no power over you. Oh, the cross was a complete act. Did Jesus have to go back and do it again? No, is the answer. Not a trick question. Did he have to repeat it a year later when the warranty was up? No, it was a complete act, once and for all in. It was never going to run out. It was never going to have to be repeated, renewed, extended for extra payments and all of that. It was done, 100%. And that tells me that I am 100% paid for. I am 100% won. I am 100% all in, paid for, lifetime, eternity, guarantee to live in freedom and victory because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
You are allowed to get a little bit excited in this place this morning. Come on, you've got to burn off some of those Easter eggs. Anything the enemy may try to hold you down, to weigh you down, to tie you down to your past, to what you think your future is, to where even you are now, Jesus cut the rope. He cut it off. He broke the chain. It had no power over you then. It has no power over you tomorrow. You are free 100%. Jesus Christ is seated above all things. That is his position now. He is seated high above all things, and so are we. Ephesians 1 verse 6 says this: I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened. God wants you to know this stuff. He wants you to know it. He wants you to know it in your heart, okay? Because when you know it in your heart, when it goes from being up here, oh yes, I've memorized the scripture, I can recite this, and the Holy Spirit brings life and connection, and it comes alive in your heart, then you can start to live it and live in it. So we must know it. That you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according, here we go, to the working of his great might, that he who worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, that's everything covered there, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come, he put all things under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. I love that. Jesus Christ went all in so that he could be our all in all. Amen. Have you gone all in today in response to him? Are you all in? And the way you know that is by thinking and working out, I'm all in, so Jesus is my all in all. Is there anything else in my life that is kind of tarnishing that or distracting that, diluting that? Is there anything that is stopping him from being my all in all? The work Jesus did on the cross, the victory he was raised in, that is the victory he raises us in.
Yes.
It's the hope that keeps us going.
Yes.
We're complete. We are being completed. We will be complete. Amen. It's ongoing. It's ongoing revelation. It never stops. It just keeps on going. You can never be 100% all in fully to God, to Jesus yet. We can't do it. We can work towards it. We can live each day, taking one step closer, giving a little bit more. Here I am, as Jesus shows us, until that day when we see him and we are finally complete. It's a whole other sermon, isn't it? But our position in Christ, our condition in Christ is raised. We are fully raised. We are fully raised in him. And I said, didn't I, earlier on, that the Holy Spirit, you know, he said to me, Amber, sometimes as Christians, we can live like we're still just part raised. That we're still just, you know, we're weighed down by stuff. There's things in us. And do you know how I know that, why that's really personal to me? It's because I've been there. I'm still there in some ways. I had my holy donut life before Jesus. 15 years of a holy donut life. And then he introduced himself to me, transformed my life from inside out, and I am so forever grateful for that day. It's been an amazing journey so far. He rescued me, he forgave me, he offered me a raised to life life. And I took it. I took it all. So I thought, you see, I have a condition in me that you may be really surprised to understand and to kind of hear this morning, but I have an issue in my life that I have been working with Jesus closely with for a long time, and that is control. I'm glad no one laughed. I like to be in control. Just saying it. I like to be in control. I like to be in control from when I was a very young girl. I liked things my way. I felt safe if they were... This is not looking ahead at me. I felt safe if they were a certain way. I liked to know what was coming. Have I ever mentioned that I hate surprises? Hate surprises. Rich knows this. After nearly 20 years of marriage, I think he's finally accepted this. Give me a surprise party, it's not going to end well. I hate surprises. I hate being out of not knowing what's happening, not knowing what's coming, not knowing what's expected of me, not, you know, that kind of thing. And as I grew up as a teenager, I had my life planned out for me. First of all, I was going to be a policewoman. That's what I wanted to do from the age of 3 to the age of 10. I wanted to be a policewoman. And then when I worked out how much exercise was involved, I decided, actually, you know, I'm going to be a librarian. It's much safer. No exercise involved, apart from running up and down the bookshelves. And actually, I love books. Oh, it's funny, isn't it? I love books. And I wanted to be a librarian, and that was my plan. My plan for life did not involve becoming a Christian. Not interested. I had my friends, I had music, I had school, I enjoyed school, one of those kids. I liked reading, I was fine, quite happy. My life plan did not involve becoming a pastor's wife. In anywhere, I mean, what was that about? But God had other plans, and see, one day, when I was 13, I had to have two operations on my feet. My feet are not pretty. And I had a condition in my feet that caused them to kind of claw over. Not pretty, as I've said. And I had to have an operation, and I was really angry about this operation. Really angry. It was not in my life plan. I was not interested. The recovery was going to be really, really slow. I was going to be confined to, like, plaster casts up to here. And, you know, it just wasn't going to be fun. And I remember going down to this operation, and I was so angry. So angry, and the doctor even came and spoke to my parents. I was like, you might need to talk to her, because she's fighting the anesthesia. She's so not having this operation. And so it was a mess. And so I had the operation. They finally knocked me out. I came up, and I was still so angry. And you know what happens when you're angry? Everything hurts more. Everything hurts more. My body was fighting. My spirit was fighting. I'd just become a Christian, and this was totally like rocking my world. Why is God letting me go through this? I was so angry. Anyway, long story short, that happened. I stayed angry for a long time. And then a couple of years later, came to the point where Jesus, he said, Amber, enough is enough. Enough is enough. I went all in for you. I gave my whole self for you so that you could live a whole, free, abundant, joyful, did I say free, life. Not held down by anger. Not held back by control. I want to help you. I want to save you again. I want to put you back where you're supposed to be, where I've intended you to be. And I was ready at that point. Because there's only so long you can carry that stuff. There's only so long before, you know. And you know what I had to do to get rid of this issue of control? And like I say, it's ongoing. I'm not fully done yet. I know that. But the only way I could get rid of this control issue, this anger issue, was 100% giving it back to Jesus. So Lord, you want me to surrender myself, to give up my control, give up my need to know what's happening and where I'm going to go and who I'm going to end up with and all that kind of stuff, and just give that to you. And he said, yes. And so I did. Wow. And I still have to do that every day. Every day, I still have to do that. Jesus, you gave yourself 100% to me. And so I give myself 100% to you. And you have to do it every day. Every day. Who likes balloons? Helium balloons? Yeah, we talked about this at the ladies' event back in November. But helium balloons are designed to be filled with helium. And they rise up, don't they? Up in the air. And they look beautiful and serene. Go and have a look at the photos if you want to see what I'm talking about. Helium balloons, you know. But the thing with helium balloons is that they look great for about 24 hours. And then they start sinking again, don't they? And I used to think that was because the helium kind of died in there. I was like, oh, the helium's dying. So, okay, that makes sense in my brain. And they would start to sink. And you see what happens when balloons start to sink is that then they kind of are subject to everything that's going on down here, aren't they? They get pushed around and swirled around, and whatever currents are happening down in this kind of area of the room, that's what they're subject to. When they're full of fresh helium, they're up here flying high, rise above everybody else, looking down, yeah? But what actually happens to that helium is that it doesn't die, it escapes. Helium atoms are so small, that they can escape even from the confines of a latex balloon, which is insane. But helium balloons, in order to maintain their position, maintain their altitude, they need to be filled with fresh helium. So you see where I'm going with this. We as Christians need to daily, every 24 hours, at least, constantly be being filled with fresh Holy Spirit, fresh Jesus, 100% in us, yeah? The only way to deal with anything in you that is not of Jesus, that is holding you back, that is preventing him from being your all in all, from making, helping you live a raised life, is to give it to him and breathe him back in.
Amen.
So what is weighing you down? What is pressing you down? What is, even now, just coming into your mind, yep, this is what I need to do. This is what you're talking to me about, Jesus. Try Jesus. He satisfies the longing soul. And the hungry he fills with good things. That's Psalm 107. Jesus has a new way of life for you to live. A new way of life for you. He completely fills us. He has completely raised us. And he wants us to live complete in him. There are two laws that we live by. Well, more than two, but we're going to talk about two laws that we live by just in closing now. In our world, we have the law of gravity. That's the first one, isn't it? The law of gravity, it keeps our feet planted on the ground. Amen? We all need it. Otherwise, we'd be floating around, bumping into one another. The law of gravity. And then there's another law that comes in to play when you're at an airport. Have you ever watched a plane, especially the big fat jumbo jets that, you know, carrying like 500 people, taxi along the runway, pick up speed, and then like tilt up and take off? Have you ever watched one of those? Have you ever been in one of those planes when it's doing that? I must admit, that point when you feel the wheels leave the ground and the plane takes off and there's that like lurch that happens, that I never pray so hard as in that moment. Oh, Jesus. I know you've promised me that at least 30 more years. You've got this for me to do. You've got this for me to do. That takes in. But what is happening at that point? At that point, the law of gravity is exactly where it always is. It's on the ground. And what is happening is that the law of aerodynamics is kicking in and causing the plane with its powerful thrust to rise over the power of gravity and up into the air and soar where it will hopefully stay until it reaches its destination. Amen. Two laws. Okay, here's another two laws. Romans 8, verses 1 to 4. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Amen? For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Two laws. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Amen. What does this mean? It means that I'm giving you permission today to break the law. I'm giving you permission, one chance only, to break the law of sin and death in your life by receiving Jesus Christ 100% fully, all in, because he has paid the price. He has paid the price. He has paid the price for you so that you can live not by the law of sin and death, held down, dragged down, weighed down, where you're not going to soar and where the enemy wants you, but you can live by the power of the Spirit who has set you free, who wants you to rise, who wants you to soar, who wants you to be risen with Jesus Christ. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. Let's pray, shall we? Amen. Oh. Jesus Christ, we thank you this morning that we can stand. We can stand up fully raised. We can stand up with our heads held high because of you, Lord, because of what you did for us on the cross, because of the price you paid, for the shame and the sin and the pain that you took on the cross, for what you did, for the battle that you fought and won, for your fully completed, finished, full stop work that you have done, that means that Jesus Christ, just as you are resurrected fully, we are resurrected with you. We are able to live a resurrected life, fully raised with you. We are able to live over our circumstances, over the world. We are able to live fully complete and full of you. And Lord Jesus, this morning, as we stand in your presence, Lord, will you show us anything in us that need not be there anymore, that need not be there, that you have paid for, that you have dealt with, that you have broken the chain of over our lives, that you have finished.
Hallelujah.
Show us, Lord, so that we can give it to you. Give it to you. And Lord, we give ourselves to you 100%. Jesus, we are saying we are going all in with you as you are all in all. Come, fill us, Lord Jesus, the same power that was in you that raised you from the dead. May it come and live in us and live in us every day. May we glorify you, Jesus. May we glorify you. And may we bring praise and worth to what you did for us once and for all. I thank you that you have finished it. I thank you that it is done, that in you we are free. And Jesus, we say thank you. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. A challenging word. This morning, just for a moment, I want to encourage some of you. Amber said in her message, it's a very powerful statement.
Yeah.
And she said that in the Garden of Gethsemane, she stepped towards those demon-possessed men and spoke.